Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
Welcome to another Monday. My name's Mick. I do hope you're well. Busy show today. Lots to get on with, including, in a few moments' time, our interview with the Fallen Angels Dance Theatre Group. They've got a new production they want to get you behind. And also, if you're a podcast listener, you get a Brucey bonus this week, and that is the interview with Michael Maitland. Now, he is the co-author of a new book called Out of the Madhouse. He talks about his battles against mental illness and how he's working now alongside his dad to put together, quote, an insider's guide to managing depression and anxiety. Now, we do mental health every single Monday from 2:15 here on Radio City Talk. You can get involved in the show as well. If there's an organisation you're involved in, work that you're doing, if there's a story you'd like to tell, or maybe it's your own mental health journey you want to discuss, we always like to hear from you. Drop us your emails, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. Thanks to everybody, by the way, who's hanging on to come on the programme as well. We've got people booked in for a few weeks to come, purely off the back of the Mental Health Monday Marathon with so many people that we spoke to and so many people we wanted to squeeze in. Couldn't get into the 24 hours, but it means we've got loads of great guests lined up for the coming weeks. You can check them all out through the Mental Health Monday podcast. You often get bonus features on there, bonus interviews as well. Subscribe and like that. If you want to give it a 5-star rating, 4-star, to be honest, 3 stars, we'd be happy with that. Check that out via your podcast provider. If you don't normally listen to podcasts, just type in Mental Health Monday podcast and you get all the information online. You're with Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
You're going to hear now about a series of performances you might want to get involved in that are absolutely free and are taking place at some of our most prestigious theatres around the region. I'm very pleased to say we're joined in the studio by the team behind Fallen Angels Dance Theatre. Guys, thank you for your time. We have Johnny and Sam and Claire. Great to see you all. Thanks for your
time.
Thanks for joining us on Mental Health Monday. Now, Claire.
Hi.
You don't know this, but... Fallen Angels inspired Mental Health Monday getting underway a couple of years ago. So we were speaking to some of your members who were taking part in a show, and it struck me at the time about how normal it was to talk about mental health, addictions, mm-hmm. and the issues that came around it. And it was at that point I thought, why don't we actually do something about that? And for that reason, we set up Mental Health Monday, because we were finding that more and more people were talking about addiction, talking about PTSD, talking about depression, anxiety, stress, and all that. And it was actually becoming a really normal thing for people to do. And for that reason, we set up Mental Health Monday, because we thought, well, actually, people will share those stories. They're really human stories, and people, I think, will absolutely relate to them.
Oh,
so there you go.
That's amazing. What a compliment. but absolutely, the thing is for us at Fallen Angels is really that's why we do what we do, to give people a platform to talk and to, you know, for the wider community to get involved and hear the stories of people in recovery, you know. So, that's why Fallen Angels came about, and why we do performances, so that then we can really talk further about mental health. Mm. This performance that's come up, Dark Night Ends, it began by talking to people in recovery in the area. So we talked to a group at Spider over in the Wirral, Tom Harrison House over in Liverpool, and our group that you know about that's been before to meet with you, that's based at the Bluecoat Arts Centre. So we started by gathering people's stories of their recovery, and some themes emerged out of that. And then, so what we want to do with the performances is to share that experience, share those stories. And we do it through dance theatre, so it is very different. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and we find that when you do dance, there is no language barrier. There's no, barrier at all in communication, that people, everybody, would be able to relate to our performances, not just if you're in recovery from addiction, because everybody goes through stuff. You know, whether it's more extreme to a lesser extreme, you know, I think the themes that are coming through in our performances are relevant for everybody.
Mm. Absolutely. One of the things around the arts is that, of course, you interpret it yourself in a different way as well. So it's not just about the words that you say. It's about how people both view what you've done and also how they sort of interpret the actions and the interactions that they see. Let's bring Johnny and Sam into the conversation. Johnny, just tell us how you got involved in Tom Harrison House, first and foremost.
First of all, I had a life of addiction with alcohol and cocaine. And I'd put it off through the back of my mind that I didn't have an addiction problem. but everybody else around us could clearly see that I did. And then it was made aware to us that there was a military treatment centre down in Liverpool called Tom Morrison House by AVF Launch Pad in Newcastle. And this is the only military treatment centre in the UK. So I pushed forward to get rid of my addiction and change my behaviour and, well, start a new life, really. Start a new life.
The work that goes on with Jackie and the team at Tom Harrison House is quite incredible, isn't it? Did your life change the day you walked through the door?
Not the day I walked through the door, no. But with Jackie, she's an amazing person. The amount of love that's given to you, as soon as you're welcome with open arms, as soon as you go into that premises, and they believe in you. So even though you haven't got much belief in yourself, they grow you. They take a little seed and then it blossoms.
Brilliant. Sam, just tell us about your involvement. How do you get involved? You're from Liverpool, aren't you?
Yeah, originally. I've been down in the Midlands for 30 years. I've been in active addiction for 20 years, obviously serving in the services as well. My addiction's come through me in the services as well. I've done treatment centres before, but hasn't been successful. So I heard about this place, Thomas Harrison House, and one day I just had enough, sort of surrendered and made the call. And when I was in there within 10 days. It's amazing, it's an amazing place.
So how does it go from somebody living with an addiction, coming out of the armed forces, to stepping on a stage and taking part in an interactive dance theatre performance? Because actually, people would look at you guys and you go, you are blokes. You look like blokes. You don't look like you are the sort of people who you would traditionally think would be involved in dance theatre. And this is part of the breaking the stigma, I think, around these kinds of things as well. So at what point did the arts, at what point did dance, at what point did the Fallen Angels get involved?
Okay, yeah. For me, I thought I would never do anything like this in a million years, to be honest. There was the Fallen Angels had a slot in the programme, in our programme at Thomas Harrison House. And we started doing some dancing and getting involved. And obviously the first time I went, I thought, whoa, I'm not doing this. I'm not really into this. But for me, if I relate it to my recovery, it's about pushing through your fears. And sometimes you're in an uncomfortable place. And then it's just pushing through, because you've got the support of all the staff and everything. And then you sort of just let yourself go and get involved. And then that was it. And that's pretty much it, really.
How did it work for you, Johnny?
For myself, I met Paul from Fallen Angels a number of weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago at Goodison. We used to have a little session for about an hour and a half, and it was expressing feelings of what we're doing, opening up with strength and courage and putting it little bits into movement, using different parts of our body parts. And then actually looking back on it, you thought you could really feel the power coming together. And then we've progressed it on with rehearsals, and it's just been amazing to see the power and the creative part of us come alive. And it's just a huge confidence boost to, I believe, myself on a personal level, and the lads doing it, and the ladies doing it as well.
What was the moment for you where you thought, hey, there's something happening here, I can feel something's going on, there's a good vibe that's coming from this?
It's just the satisfaction of being able to express your feelings through movement. And I just think it's very powerful, especially when you look back at it. When you look back at it and actually see it, it's emotional to look back at it, and it's really, that was the moment for myself. It is an amazing piece of work.
Sam, what's it like for you, that opportunity and taking that opportunity to express yourself in a different way?
It's just amazing to be given that opportunity, to be honest, because as I said before, we've never done anything like this before. And for me to see, when you're involved in the moments, when you're doing it, you can't really see, you can feel it, but you can't see it, if you get what I mean. So when they video it and you play it back to you, that's where you get your inspiration from, and you think, wow. And it's just amazing. Really, really good.
And what is it then? What is it, do you think, that you see? Where you think, oh, right, I was doing that, or I didn't realise I was doing it like that, or I was doing it like that and I'll do it like that again?
Some stereotypical squaddies dancing, to be honest. That's what it is. Just giving it 100% and really getting involved and actually feeling our emotions and showing that through our dance and movement.
Claire, the later show is called Dark Knight Ends. Just tell us about the theme behind it.
Sure. So the title Dark Knight Ends came from one of our dancers. When he talked about, Ian talked about his journey into recovery and how he had to hit that point, a rock bottom, when for the dark night to end. So it's that moment that you're propelled into recovery when you've had enough, when you've hit your rock bottom, that suddenly there's a glimmer of hope. There's always hope. There's always light. And it's that moment that people then can build on their recovery. So even though it sounds dark, the dark night ends, it's actually about hope and recovery. It's about that moment that propels you into recovery. And then it's a shared experience and expression from all the guys coming together. You know, we've got 17 performers on the stage, all having experienced a dark night ending and that hope. And it's just entirely inspirational. You know, it's emotional, like the guy said. When you get that many people really on a stage together performing, you know, it's sort of, it goes through the roof, doesn't it? The emotion.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, it's obviously great for these guys in getting involved and the people who are getting involved on the stage. What are the people in the audience getting out of it, do you think? Outside of seeing, you know, a visual spectacular.
Great, yeah. Well, I think emotionally, people connect on a very different level. So that's the thing we were talking about dance, how you connect physically. You know, your neurological systems kind of go, oh, actually, I felt that emotion now and again. And so they get that connection. But what we hope with this production is there's going to be something in the foyer that the audience can interact with to really get them thinking before they go into the performance. And then during the performance, hopefully those themes will then, you know, the people in the audience will be going on some kind of journey for themselves. And then after the performance, we're going to invite the audience to stay. We'll have a question and answer session so that they can ask questions directly. Because like you said, with art and with dance theatre, we're not going to spoon feed our audience. We do want them to have a think about these themes and how they relate to themselves. And then we're going to go do some small group interaction. So then in a small group, the audience can talk. There's a space for them to talk. And we'd really, as performers, like to hear their stories, you know, and how they relate to the themes that are coming about. We've got the theme of Dark Knight Ends. We've also got a theme, a story from Tracy that's come about where she had a moment on a beach, and it'll be, what would you say to yourself as a child if you met them on that beach?
Oh, wow.
It's going to be profound. And so that was Tracy's story that's coming through. And there's also another story about, you know, we're going to ask the audience, you know, what is your high? So now people in recovery, drugs or alcohol is no longer their high.
Yeah.
And for some, you could say that dance is now their new high, you know. Yeah. we're going to be asking some very... provocative
questions. Yeah, absolutely. And actually, because it's flagged up as an interactive dance theatre performance, some people might think they're going to ask me out on stage to dance as well. But actually, you're saying the interaction there is the work you do through the foyer, the Q&A afterwards as well, and those sort of questions. So yeah. I guess it's about getting everybody involved within the audience as well.
Absolutely.
So there's value for the audience as well as the value that's on stage.
Absolutely, yes.
Brilliant stuff. People can get involved in this one, by the way. Three prestigious venues right across the region. 12th of February, Chester's Story House. Very nice venue there. Mm-hmm. Then across to Birkenhead's Pilgrim Arts Centre on the 13th of February, and then the Capstan Theatre in Liverpool on the 15th of February. And admission is free, and there's going to be charitable collections at every event.
Absolutely, yes.
So that's brilliant for everyone to get involved. 12th, 13th and 15th, starting at the Story House in Chester, Birkenhead's Pilgrim Arts Centre, followed by the Capstan Theatre in Liverpool City Centre. Admission is free, and there'll be charitable collections at each event. We've got the team with us behind the Fallen Angels dance theatre production, Dark Knight Ends. We've got Claire Morris, Johnny Dodds and Sam Collins. Johnny, you talk about your addiction that you had while you were in the military as well. In terms of your journey that you're on, in terms of your addiction, where are you up to now?
Well, now I see myself throughout the journey with my cocaine and alcohol. It was from a very early age, I was 14, progressing on, and sometimes it would disappear out of my life, the addiction with the narcotics and the alcohol, but it was never gone. That's one thing that I've got to remember. Once an addict, you're always an addict. So I've always got to use that bumper to repel us forward, because I don't ever want to go back to that space again. So that's what my use is, trying to propel it forward.
Is that your similar experience, Sam, in terms of your own addictions, your own journey, if you like?
Yeah, I think for me, I know I can't go back to that type of life for me now. So for me, it's about building new foundations, meeting new people, connecting on different levels, and this has allowed me to do this. You know what I mean? So it's a culminative thing of many different things, because obviously the condition that we suffer from is a very serious thing, and obviously there's not many nice places that you can go from it. So to be in recovery is a very inspirational and powerful thing.
Is that part of the journey then, in terms of recovery? It's about not going back to the places you used to go and doing the things you do, finding new things, finding new groups, finding new ways of moving forward.
I'd say so. It's an old saying, isn't it? If nothing changes, nothing changes. So I mean, you've got to pretty much change your whole sort of.
The willingness to change in your behaviour.
Yeah.
To put away your old traits that have dragged you down and open up to new experiences in my eyes. And this dance, theatre, the creative movement that we're doing, and we'd express ourselves rather than drinking or taking drugs and experiencing things in a healthy life. And it's much more enjoyable, much more enjoyable.
Because there'll be people now listening to this who'll be thinking, right, well, I'm in the position of somebody who has got addictions, someone who's not in recovery. People thinking, I can't see beyond the life that I have at the moment. I can't see beyond the walls that I'm in. I can't see beyond the town that I live. I can't see beyond the friends group or the so-called friends group that I'm in as well. But actually, you guys are looking at it from the other way, and you're thinking, well, we're finding a way. We're doing things a little bit different.
I think it does come down to, obviously, your personal choice. I mean, I think when you've had enough, or when you've had too many dark nights, I mean, it's kind of a surrender thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a personal thing. Nobody can force you to stop taking it. It's on yourself, really.
I believe the first step is the biggest step. Either coming into treatment, realizing that you have a problem, because you're masked by your addiction all the time, by saying that you haven't got a problem, when everybody around, what it will do is pull you in and push everybody else alone, away from you. So it leaves you alone. And when you realise that, and you need to get help. And there's people out there to help.
Well, I was going to ask you about the organisations, the different people who come forward. We've talked about people who've served in the military. SAFA often get mentioned in terms of making connections, keeping connections with people. I've heard people say that they ignored the first, 15 emails that came through from SAFA, ignored the knocks on the door from people. But actually, was it for you? Did you accept the first offer of help, or were there sort of things you thought, oh, it's not for me, or I'm not going to go down that route? Did it take a while before you decided in yourself to make those steps?
Well, yeah.
I think we're blasted. Well,
yeah, I'd agree. I'd say 20 years is quite a long time, and I haven't had much abstinence or clean time in that sort of time. I'm a big believer in when you're ready, or as Claire said, when you've hit your rock bottom and you can't go on anymore and you realise you've got nothing left to give, you're kind of broken on the inside as well. And to reach out for help is, it's alien, but you need to do it. You need to drop your pride and say, look, I'm broken here, I need some help. And then you will get the help.
And you talked about Jackie before, Jackie Johnston Lynch from Tom Harrison House. Obviously, we've got Claire here from Fallen Angels. What does that help look like, or what did that help look like to you, Johnny? Was it patronising? Was it, awkward? Or was it actually very open? Did you have a much more sort of pleasant experience, if you like, than you would have expected?
Well, I believe coming down, I travelled all the way from Newcastle to come to Liverpool, to this treatment centre at Tom Harrison House. And there was just a voice on the telephone at first. So I was thinking to myself, oh, what's this to do? And I wasn't really prepared to take the jump. And the first time it went, a second time it went, and then Jackie came on the phone on the third time, and it was a choice. I needed help, but I didn't want to do the step. But I did that day, jumped on the train and I came. And when I got to Tom Harrison House, with all the members of staff there, all the people who I'm in treatment with now, they're just such warm, loving people. And they're all... It's an amazing thing that the staff have there is just to give their time and to help people who's in our situations. Mm. And some of them have addiction as well. Jackie has her own personal story. Everybody has their own personal story. And the amount of help that they've given me, they really have changed my life around in a matter of 12 weeks. And it's I can't thank them more than enough. And even with Fallen Angels and the dance, I would never have dreamed about doing a performance in front of people at theatres. And it's just an amazing experience. And I thank them all from the bottom of my heart and the Fallen Angels for this.
So it's not just recovery. We're talking opportunity as well, it sounds like. You know, that it's not just about, you know, sitting in a room and getting to grips with your problems. It's about saying, well, let's get to grips with your problems, but through that, let's look at, you know, different opportunities you would never either have had or would ever have taken if they'd have come your way.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think it's about change for me, changing and obviously pushing yourself through that type of stuff. There's Thomas Harrison House is an amazing organisation, and they offer a lot of support on a lot of different levels, and they kind of tailor it to your needs. So say if Johnny had a different need to me, it's not blanket across the, it's done to your individual needs. And I think it comes from love, to be honest. Yes. From Jackie especially, and of all them other people, it's because they genuinely care, because they don't want people to go back out there because...
They genuinely care.
It's a brilliant organisation, and there should be more of them in the country, I feel. But that's just my opinion.
That's a decent opinion. You can have that opinion. Thank you. The base around here.
Yeah, open up worldwide.
Yeah. Claire, in terms of Fallen Angels as well, do you keep tabs on the numbers of people that you're helping now? Do you have any?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the last year, because we work across the Northwest, so we've got groups in Chester, Liverpool, in Salford and Lee in Greater Manchester. We worked with over 91 people last year. So in this production alone, we've got 17 people. And I was just thinking about the guys, you know, you've heard their two powerful stories, and every single person in the group have their powerful story. And I could, you know, charter the different routes that people have found their recovery. So, you know, over in the Wirral, you've got Spider, which is an amazing organisation, and a drop-in. So anybody could just drop in that are in the Wirral and go and have a chat to somebody there. You know, there's different routes. Not everybody wants to go to a rehabilitation centre or can go to a rehabilitation centre, but recovery is there if people are looking for it.
Absolutely. You know, and Claire, you can tell our listeners as well, Johnny and Sam sat here, they are... You know, they're not, you know, they've not come in wearing ballet shoes or anything like that, right?
They're regular guys.
They are regular guys. And this is the thing that we try and do on this program, is talk about how normal it is to be able to talk about that. I mean, Sam talks about, you know, the love that Jackie has for the work she does through Tom Harrison House as well. You know, you're allowed to talk about your emotions. You're allowed to talk about how you feel. You're allowed to embrace a whole host of different things if that's part of your recovery and that's part of your positive mental health.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think everybody does need to talk, and everybody needs to get it out there. And we call it disarming our problems. You know, it really disarms it when, you know, it's that problem shared, isn't it? Is a problem halved. You know, as soon as you share with somebody, you talk about it, and as soon as you make that step to come and meet somebody else that have been through something that you're going through, suddenly you're not on your own. And nobody needs to be on their own in this city because there's so many activities actually for people in recovery. You've got Genie in the Gutter, you've got First Take, you know, there's loads of different organisations doing amazing cultural activity for people in recovery. You know, so there's loads of support out there. But we're at the Blue Coat every Thursday with our group, and we don't intend on going anywhere. Because I think the thing it's one of those things that I think, you know, you've sort of heard from the guys at Tom Harrison House. When you work with people in recovery, they're so special. You know, they've got so much to give and so much love. It's a reciprocal thing. Yeah. So, you know, our passion, very much like your own for Mental Health Monday, as soon as you start going down this road, you just see people grow. You know, you see the potential that people have, and you want to help more, you know, and that's Fallen Angels is very much like a family.
Brilliant. Yeah. Dark Knight ends the show coming to Chester's Storyhouse on the 12th of February, then the Birkenhead Pilgrim Arts Centre on the 13th, followed by the Capstan Theatre on the 15th of February. Admission is free. There'll be charitable collections at each event as well. There's an interactive element to it as well. I'll just make this point, Claire. If you want to just go because you've heard these guys talking and you just want to sit in a corner and you don't want to interact,
absolutely,
you just want to witness it to get a sense of it, and you're worried that if by showing up someone's going to, you know, sign you up to the next performance. That's not the case, is it, right?
Not the case at all, no, absolutely. We're just in... I sometimes... performance feels like a loaded word. I like to say it's more like a sharing, because we want to share with people our experiences, our love for the arts and recovery. And but, you know, I don't want that to sound intimidating whatsoever, even if you want to just come and sit in the Capstan foyer, you know, and then have a listen to the interactive stuff before and after, just to hear what's going on. That would be cool. It's totally fine.
Great show. Claire, thank you for your time. Always great to get you on from the Fallen Angels Dance Theatre. Johnny, thank you for your time as well. Great to get you in the city. It's all right, Liverpool, isn't it?
It's not bad at all.
Sam, good to get you on the programme too.
Thank you very
really
much.
Really appreciate your
time.
Those three shows again, Chester Storyhouse 12th, Birkenhead Pilgrim Arts Centre on the 13th and the Capstan Theatre on the 15th. Admission is absolutely free. It's Radio City Talk and it's Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
So it's Mental Health Monday. My name's Mick Coyle. Very pleased to say we have one of the co-authors of a new book out. It's called Out of the Madhouse, An Insider's Guide to Managing Depression and Anxiety by Michael Maitland and Ian Maitland. And Michael Maitland joins us on the programme. Now, Michael, thank you for your time.
Hey,
Ian. Out of the Madhouse, co-authored with Ian Maitland. So Ian's your dad, is that right?
Yes, he is, yeah.
So just tell us where you're at in terms of your own mental health journey at the moment, because actually it's a really interesting story, and of course it's the focus of the book, and people will be able to read about it. But give us a sense of where you're at the moment.
Yep, I mean, it's been a while since all that happened. I think I've kind of been all right for maybe 2 or 3 years now, because it was quite a long process going from when it started. I think I was like sort of 17, 18, where I sort of slowly kind of declined, and then... it sort of went over an 8-year period, and then, yeah, sort of I kind of had to restart things and sort of back sort of steady now, I think.
We often talk about the links between sort of mental health and physical health, and I understand that it was back in October 2012 your dad received a message that you'd been taken to hospital, and it was actually your mental health problems that had such a detrimental impact on your physical health that you ended up with, well, in a terrible situation, if you could explain.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had pneumonia. Things at this point, I was probably about 7 stone, so like my body wasn't like in the best way, and I kind of got pneumonia, my lung had collapsed. Yeah, and sort of I was sort of in a wheelchair by that point, just because of the way I'd sort of, my body had declined, and it was down to my mental health, really.
So what sort of things were going on in your head mentally before that period that led you to that situation where your body was so physically incapable of fighting back against this type of illness?
I mean, it's always a hard one to explain, but like I'd been feeling down for so long, and at first I thought I was just kind of like sort of, like everyone else, like you have your down days, and then they kind of became more frequent over years, and then it just got to the point where I wasn't leaving the house and things like that, and I sort of lost contact with all my friends, and I think it just really came down to losing like any self-worth and just not looking after myself, sort of doing things that normal people would do.
Yeah, was that something that you were aware that was happening, or did it just feel like that was how life was panning out for you? That can often be the thing that people talk about on this program, that they didn't necessarily think something was wrong, they just thought, you know what, this is what teenage years going into adult life is actually like.
Yeah, I mean, I really did think that. I just thought, well, it can't really get much worse than this, and then sort of it would slowly get a bit worse and a bit worse, but I always just in my head thought this is just what everyone goes through, I think. And then it didn't really hit me till I kind of went into hospital and things like that, that it was actually really, really bad kind of thing.
One of the things you've done as part of the book, you understand, is to actually look through your old diary entries. Now, for many people, that can be a slightly sobering and often embarrassing thing. When you look at your own diary entries from that time, what sort of insight did you get into your own mindset from how you were feeling at that particular time?
I mean, I started writing that when I went into the Priory, which is basically like rehab for me. And it was kind of suggested that maybe we keep a diary because there wasn't much else you could do. You're basically locked in a room, so... I sort of started writing that, and then I didn't even touch it again until years later, until my dad kind of mentioned that, like, we could be doing this book, and then I sort of dug it out and had a read through it, and that was weird reading that.
Was there anything in there where you thought, oh,
I understand now that I'm in a much better place compared to where I was at when I was writing these words.
Yeah, 100%. I was sort of reading bits thinking, how did I even think things like that? And how did I get myself in that way kind of thing? And I think it was just nice to kind of see. It was kind of nice, but also kind of, it was sad also reading it back, sort of seeing how I got to that point.
And in terms of the family life that you had before, I understand that for most people, you know, the Maitlands were, you know, a stand-up family. Your dad was a writer, your mum worked in a school as well. You had, you know, one of three siblings as well. You were the perfect family life. Was that one of the things that you were aware of, that you felt like you should be enjoying life? You felt like things had been set up in your favour, and yet you couldn't seem to get to grips with it?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I moved out when I was probably 17, 18 kind of age with my girlfriend, and then we eventually went on to get married and stuff, which didn't work out. But kind of all through those years when I sort of had my own house and I had my own cars and things like that, and had like a family and I had friends that wanted to see me, I think it was also kind of guilt that made my mental health worse, because I kind of thought, well, I've got all this around me and it should, on the outside, people should think, well, I've got a perfect setup. But I was just kind of feeling so down that I think then me feeling that just kind of escalated, I think.
Do you think you were just lacking in the tools to deal with this situation? Obviously, there was the depression, the anxiety that was going on there. What was it, do you think, that helped you turn around? Was it learning things about yourself? Was it learning how to handle your situation better?
I think it actually happened when I broke up with my wife and I kind of came back home with my family, and I'd kind of like lost my house and everything like that. And I always say to people, I don't suggest you have to lose everything to get better. But for me, I realised like I'd had everything and then I had nothing. And it was from that point, it was like either I give up or I kind of try and turn things about, I think.
Mm. And that rock bottom, and everybody's rock bottom can fall at different levels, I guess. When you think back now to that rock bottom and where you were at then, do you feel proud of yourself in terms of where you've come to now, in terms of your own recovery, the work you're doing now as a mental health ambassador?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I've completely changed things around now, like, because I'm a tattoo artist as well now, so like I have to deal with people every day, and it's just weird thinking that I have to deal with customers, like, and it's quite a personal job. And some people, I mean, there's a lot of people that do know about my past, but then there's a lot that don't. And I think they don't even realise the kind of thing I've been through. And I'd go through periods of not even being able to talk to people. And now it's kind of my job to have to do that. It's really strange, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. You could swing by the tower and you could do as a session here. Yeah. Just tell us about the, I mean, language is always really interesting when it comes to mental health, using the right kind of language. You've gone for out of the madhouse. You've gone for the use of the word madhouse. Did you think long and hard about using that as a phrase?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Me and my dad spoke about it and we thought, well, that's the kind of thing that was used in his day and age. And the way I'm saying it is not me having making fun of people in that situation. It's because I've been through that, and it is, when you're in that situation, that's how I felt. And I sympathise with everyone that's got issues going on, and because I've had it as bad as it gets, really. But I think it was just a sort of a striking title for the book that made it stand out, really, I think.
Absolutely. The book is out now. You can order it through Jessica Kingsley Publishers, and I'm sure all good bookshops, and Facebook as well, Twitter and social media, Out of the Madhouse by Michael Maitland and Ian Maitland. We've got Michael on the programme with us on the programme today. I guess the other thing with this, Michael, is that sometimes if people are unsure about talking about mental health or unsure about whether or not, you know, this is something which is affecting them, you can order a book. You can, you know, rent it from a library if you want. You can have a read through it. You can, you know, I'm sure you'll get a gist within the first few chapters as to whether or not you can associate with it. And this actually might be a good inlet for some people to get a handle on their own depression, maybe their own anxiety or their own sense of mental health.
Yeah, I really think it's an easy book to read because it's all broken down into sections and stuff, and it's got sort of insights from me, like sort of saying what was going on, but then also got tips and stuff from my dad and things we worked on together to kind of help people that may be sort of starting to struggle or quite in deep with it. But I think it's all broken down nicely, and you can kind of read it in chunks and sort of bits and bobs, and I think this works well.
You're also doing ambassadorial work with STEM4. Do you want to tell us about the work that they do?
Yep, it was a charity set up in London that helps sort of teenagers with mental health issues, and they have things like an app which is selling really well called the Calm app, and basically it's kind of just help reaching out to schools, and me and my dad go into schools and just give talks on kind of what happened to me, and he kind of gives his insights as a parent, how we can sort of help, and sort of basically the thing we say is talk and talk to parents if you're struggling, or just reach out to someone. That's the kind of, it's just sort of putting the message out there that it's not something you have to hide, I think.
Absolutely. And I guess as well, that would be quite refreshing for a lot of people to see, you know, a father and son combination. Because one of the things that we often hear on this programme is about, you know, who do you break the news to? What will your family think? Will they think X, Y or Z about you? But the fact that you stand there alongside your dad and you talk about your own situation, then I guess that for a lot of people go, oh, actually, yeah, a father and son, a mum and a daughter, you know, a mother and son, whoever it would be, can have those conversations. And actually, it does feel pretty normal.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely times when me and my dad fell out because of it, because he just didn't understand, and I would just disappear for like months on end, and I wouldn't speak to him. But it was only through kind of him sort of realizing what I was actually going through, rather than me being like a bad person or anything. I think that it just took time, and the only way it worked is because I talked to him and just kind of doing the book and stuff. Then he kind of realized what was actually going on, rather than me just being like not a nice person or something. I think that kids and teenagers, they find it hard to actually sort of talk to people. I mean, they can talk to friends and stuff, but I think talking to parents or a teacher at work or someone at work is the ideal thing, really.
Michael, thank you for your time today. We wish you all the best with the book. Congratulations on it, and to your dad as well. Out of the Madhouse, An Insider's Guide to Managing Depression and Anxiety. It's out through Jessica Kingsley Publishers, and it's available to order, and I'm sure in all good bookshops as well. Michael, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us on Mental Health Monday.
Cheers. Thanks very much, buddy.
Thank you to all our contributors to Mental Health Monday this week. If there's an event that you're involved in, you want to tell us about it, if you want to talk about your mental health on the radio, many, many people do through Mental Health Monday. You can contact us here at the Radio City Tower. We are simply available on email. It's a really easy way of getting in contact. mick@radiocity.co.uk, or while we're on air, 0151 708 1059. Got one or two exciting things lined up, which we'll be able to tell you about over the course of the next couple of weeks. But always a reminder that if you want to share your mental health story, if you're involved in an event that you want to plug, if it's an exhibition, if there's a book that you're writing, maybe you're working on artwork, whatever it would be, sporting related or otherwise, do let us know, and we'll always give you a plug on the programme. It's your show as much as ours. mick@radiocity.co.uk, and don't forget Mental Health Monday every Monday on Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle
on Radio City Talk.